All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let us pray. We thank Thee this morning, O Father, for the wonderful opportunity to gather together in spirit and in truth, and for Your having come down in this hour, Father, with a shout, which is a message, to declare Yourself as ever You were, and to breathe into us the breath of lives, knowing, Father, that we are Your children, bone of Your bones, word of Your word, spirit of Your spirit. We are Your flesh and blood. So, Father, we thank You that You have given to us the spirit of adoption whereby we might cry, Abba, Father, and identifying with Thee and the image which You projected through Your Son, Jesus, that You're projecting now through Your church. We thank You for these things, Father, and with great joy we long to not only hear and recognize, but to act upon Your word, O God, knowing that as we hear, it brings life. And as we recognize, it moves from our soul into our flesh, and then it becomes acted upon, which is the manifestation of Your word in this day. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we're going to look more and more into the very theme of Brother Branham's sermon, which I point out to you, we've gone from paragraph to paragraph over these 235 sermons, where Brother Branham keeps focusing us back to Genesis 1, verse 11, that every seed will bring forth after its kind. And since the scripture deals with the law of reproduction, which is the law of life, and that it behooves us to listen closely to what this vindicated prophet of God tells us concerning the scripture, because it not only concerns the flesh life and the animal and plant life, but it also concerns the children of God. So this morning we're going to see again how important the scripture is to us. But before we read the next few paragraphs from his sermon, I'd like to look into the Word of God, if you would, with me, if we'd open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to begin reading from verse 1, and we'll read the entire chapter. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, verse 2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now, there are many theories as to the beginning. There's one called the gap theory that says there could have been millions and billions of years between verse 1 and verse 2. Brother Branham actually professed to us that when the scripture says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, period, there's a period there. And that's why they can find magma, and they can find rocks and things, a carbon date, so much older than plant life or animal life. And then the earth was without form. That means it didn't have any shape to it. And it was void. It means it wasn't there. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. I believe at this point it was still in God's thinking. You see, because it says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, period, that tells us then that there is going to be an explanation of how that creation took place. And he says, and the earth was without form. If it has no form, then it has no form. I mean, clouds have a form, right? So it wasn't like a cloud. If it has no form, it's doesn't have materialization. It's not there. I mean, physically there yet. All right, it's still in the mind of God. And it was void. Now, a void is an abyss. You know, anybody know what an abyss is? It's an endless nothingness. Like a vacuum. Like Brother Ram said before, there was even one atom to make the world. You see? And darkness then was upon the face of the deep. There was nothing but dark. And then the Spirit of God began to move upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the water, and let it divide the water from above And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Now, I could be wrong on this, but I think the first thing that God, in the creation, the first thing God created was the, because our atmosphere, how many know what our atmosphere is made up of? No, the molecules, what are the atoms, what is it?
Mostly nitrogen.
Okay, I think 68% nitrogen and 28% oxygen, and then whatever the different matter is. I might be wrong, the oxygen is getting less and less each year, and you probably all know, start getting harder to breathe. But anyway, so what if you mix these two together, you have an offspring of that is CO2. You know, carbon dioxide and things like that. And we have water as a byproduct. So you see that through the byproduct of the creation, then you have the waters. God separated the waters from above, which basically, how many ever seen that film that Brother Ron had where the scientist was talking about there's 7 major rivers in the ionosphere, and some of them are about 4,000 miles long and something like 300-400 miles wide. And so our government, you know, they have this experiment where they're tapping into the ionosphere, heating it up, then cooling it, heating up and cooling it, and it's called HAARP, H-A-A-R-P. Not that we're getting into the conspiracy theory stuff here, but actually there's 3 reasons for HAARP. One is to, that's something else. HAARP is basically something that Nikola Tesla had invented in his mind, and the guy was brilliant. He invented Wi-Fi, all these things, 100 years ago before it was even practical or even possible. In fact, around that time, he was on Manhattan. He had a project in Manhattan where he was building a tower that would have projected electricity to your homes. They would have had like a little converter on your house, and you would have picked it up like radio signals. It would have been free. But when J.P. Morgan, who was funding it, found out, he had him tear the whole project down. Because why? Money, 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 see? So, anyway, but what it is that the ionosphere is where you have the waters. God separated the waters from above and separated the waters from below. And so we know that during the time of Noah, you know, the Bible says that the heavens opened up and the earth, the waters came up from the earth and, you know, the flood took place. So where did all that water go? You know, well, a lot of it's up in the clouds and up in the ionosphere today. You know that, I mean, if the whole earth was completely deluged, that water had to go someplace, right? It's in the air you breathe. It's in the clouds. It's just everywhere. All right. So he says, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together under one place. Let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called it the seas. And God saw that it was good. Now notice that up to this point, everything that God did was to prepare earth to receive life. And then to be able to sustain that life. God, who is a fountain of life, gave light first, because you can't have life without light. It just won't live. And then he brought forth waters. He established, you know, he separated the waters from above from the waters from below so that there would be water supply, because without light and water, see, they've proven with hydroponics that it just takes light and then water, and you just dangle your little roots in the water. And you can produce tomatoes. I mean, when I was in Japan back in '94, I visited a hydroponic plant where Pioneer was experimenting with music to see how music would help, the vibrations of music would help the plants to grow. And they found that Bach and Beethoven, very melodic type music, were very good to stimulate good cells and produced really good fruit. But then they tried some of the hard metal and it killed the plants. So that's why, you know, we teach our children that, you know, that hard metal and those things is of the devil, and it's destructive to your body, and science has proven that, you see. But Bach and Beethoven, very symphonic, the vibrations were just perfect to allow the stimulation of the root systems, and so they would gobble up as much nutrients as they could from the water. Well, Ephesians 5:13 says, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. So you see that light is very important, because it actually brings into manifestation. You know, a seed, you look at a seed and there's not much there, but when that seed begins to grow, it takes light striking the seed to actually break down the, that structure, and when it goes into the soil, it breaks down structure as well. And then that invisible thing there called life begins to come up. And as it begins to come up, it takes nutrients from the soil, and it actually puts on, as Brother Bram said, like these bodies we have are made up of, you know, 9 different elements, and et cetera. So then the next thing God does is to separate the water from above from the waters from below. Now notice that it takes water to sustain life. Notice also the first time that God spoke, there was a separation take place. The light separated from darkness. Then the next time God spoke, the waters were separated. Then we'll see in verse 11, the next time God speaks, there's also a separation. In verse 11 it says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the third day." Now, when life comes forth and multiplies, it must first divide itself to do that. The cell divides from 1 to 2, and then that cell divides again, and now you go from 2 to 4, and then from 4 to 8, and so on. So you cannot have life without first separation. And to have life and then sustain that life, there had to be first light, then water. They have even proven in this age, as I mentioned through hydroponics, that that's all it takes. So God first brought forth light by the spoken word, then he separated the waters by his spoken word, and he had to do this first, for if life is dependent upon those two things to live, then it would have been foolish for God to create the life and then scramble to get enough light and enough water to sustain that life. So you see, where there's a deep calling, there's a deep to respond. And so God put the things necessary for life first. Then he brought forth life so that it could sustain itself. You see? Now, it's interesting when you look at this reason, because every time God ever sent an angel, the angel was to prepare a way. But the angel did not bring the life of the word. The angel didn't come and declare to the whole population, hey, this is what it is. They didn't bring the message. It was actually a messenger from God, a man, that brought the message. All right? Now, verse 14, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made 2 great lights, the great light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." So even before God made these lights, the stars, the sun, the moon, all these, you know, firmament, you have that light back in verse 3. You see? What light was that? What light was that? It had to be a light. I mean, it had to be something. Right? "And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and rule over the day and over the night, and divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and evening and the morning were the fourth day." Now notice that the first light God brought forth was, I believe, the Son of God, because in the New Jerusalem there will be no need of a sun or a moon, for the Lamb shall be the light thereof. Revelations 21:23, and "The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine upon it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Brother Branham said the very first time God spoke, he said a light came forth, and he said that was the Logos, which was the Son of God. All right. And of course, Jesus said himself in John 8:12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Again in John 9:5, he said, "For as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." And again in John 12:35-36, Jesus said, "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of the light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them." And the Apostle Paul said, told us in 2 Corinthians 4:6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And of course, we cannot leave out the Apostle John, who in 1 John 1:7 said, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now that Shekinah glory that we see here, that pillar of fire, called the Shekinah glory in the Bible, or the Shekinah presence. It actually signified the presence of God. Now, the light was not the presence. I mean, the light was not God. You know, God is not that light, but the light is actually, you can find in Psalm 104, I believe it is, says he clotheth himself with the light. So that's actually the garment of God. It's actually the, it shows you where the presence of God is. Okay, so if we, let's just move on now. And now that we've established that the reason for God doing these things is to bring forth life, in Genesis 1:11, where he said, every seed shall bring forth after its kind. Now notice in verse 20 then, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly moving creatures that hath life. So out of this water, God brought forth life. My question is, and this is just coming to me right now, but notice, if the waters brought forth life because of all the things that God placed in the waters, etc., all right, what about the light? Aren't we children of the light? Huh? Now, if that logos that came out of God is the Word of God, then aren't we part of that Word? Right? We're going to find out today how important it is to hear the preaching of the Word. Okay? Again, we see life in the waters where the clouds develop. It says, first of all, life coming forth right out of those very waters that he separated, and fowl, and then he says, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. Well, we had the water separated from below, the water from above. We have the fish of the sea and those things coming out of the water. We have the birds of the air flying in the upper firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every, verse 21, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Again, we see life. The purpose of God's creation is to bring forth life. For God is the author of life, the great fountain of life. Now, as we continue to read, I want you to notice, it is all about God bringing forth life. Verse 22, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind. Notice that the law of reproduction, after its kind, after its nature. Cattle. And what about the cattle? Ever see a cow produce a goat? No? It says after its kind. And cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after its kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. So now we can see that no matter what species God brought forth, it was to reproduce itself after his kind, and God said, hey, this is good that they're reproducing. Not crossbreeding, not one species developing into another species. Darwin was nuttier than a hoot owl. Man no more came from an ape than some fish walked up out of the sea, sprouted wings, and became a bird in the air. And that's what they teach these children. Some little fish had little, you know, 4 feet, and he walks out of the water. Then somehow, over time, he sprouts wings, and now he becomes a bird. And then from that, he becomes a man. You know, such gibberish. No wonder they believe anything is just shoved down themselves by the politicians today. It's to make the people so stupid that they believe anything, they become gullible. So by now we can see that no matter what species God brought forth, it was to reproduce itself after its kind. You know, the Apostle Paul called those so-called science, he says, science, so-called. Nothing short of conjecture and nonsense. And by the way, I have these subscription to it's the Science Foundation down there, the Creation Museum. And I'm going to start putting those publications out for you, and you can take them home with you, bring them back so that others can borrow them. But there's a lot of good stuff in there, like you can understand carbon dating, how it works, that the carbon dating loses half of its carbon life after 5,000 years. And so you can't have anything that had carbon that lived over 10,000 years ago. It's just impossible. It's impossible because carbon date loses its carbon after it runs out. And how it works is that that's for another. I'll just let you read the article. It's pretty interesting. But anyway, so getting back to the scriptures, it says, and so God, now that God has established his law of life, which is the law of reproduction, he then brought forth man in his own image, after his own kind, after his own nature. We see in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said, said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And he said, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And every beast of the earth and every fowl of the air and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein therefore I have given it. I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and evening and morning were the sixth day. Now, just one more thought. This is not for doctrine. It's not to start a church thing, okay? But if you notice that God gave us fruit from the trees, and he said, for our meat. And to the animals and to the birds, he gave the green vegetables, green grasses, and those things for their meat. Now that we've opened our Bible study, and that's all I'm going to say about that, you take it for what it's worth, and you pray about your own diets. Now that we've opened our study this morning, looking at this law of life, let's move forward into Brother Branham's sermon, The Spoken Word's Original Seed, because he is dealing with a thought that simply amazed me when I read these few paragraphs from his sermon. And this thought just set me on fire. All right, from the Spoken Word's Original Seed, paragraph 164. Now, it's 164 in our search engine. I don't know if it's 164 in your book, so you have a different formatting there. But Paul was afraid, Brother Branham said, Paul was afraid that the people would watch some kind of big words that he could say, some of his education. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 8, he says, you want to put it down, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 to 8. Paul said, I never came to you speaking words, intellectual, you know, that your faith might be in some seminary experience or some seminary thing, but I come to you with simplicity in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost that your faith should rest in the Word of God. Yes, sir. Although the denominational church will outnumber the bride 1,000 to 1. Now let me just back up here just a minute. I just want to say this about that. Too many people have an intellectual conception of this message. They got this idea that, well, because we can say it, because we know it, that means something to us. It means nothing. Paul said it means nothing. It's the life that the Word produces that means everything. Brother Brown preached a message, hearing, recognizing, then acting upon. If there's no action, there's no life. All right? If there's no act of faith, there's no living faith. Passive faith is simply you're sitting there, you're watching it, it's taking place, it's God working through a prophet. You see that the prophet become that word manifested for the hour which you live, you're watching it, voila. And how many, we got 2 million people that claim and believe that God sent a prophet in this hour, but how many is the life of Jesus in them? Now if people could see God in Christ, people could see God in William Branham, why can't they see God in you? I'll tell you one thing. It's because you're not consecrated to that word. You still have too much of yourself in you. Okay? You've got to die to self. That's simply put. You've got to die to self. And we're going to see how it works today. All right? Now, he says, Paul was afraid that the people were just watching him and fascinated by his big words, his ability to speak big things. And so they were so enticed by that, and he said, hey, that's not the way it is. I came with simplicity and in the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Verse 165. Although the denominational church will outnumber the bride 1,000 to 1, do you believe that? You believe the Bible teaches it? Isaiah 54:1. He promised it. You want me to read it? All right, let's get to it. If you want to see where it's at, he promised that they'd outnumber. Let's go over to Isaiah 54:1. Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. That's right. More are the children of the whore than she that's married. Sure, outnumber us many times. Though they be more in numbers, they have no true father. Now, the denominational kinds is is represented in Jude 8 to 13. That's the secular church. Clouds without water. Or clouds without rain. What's that? Remember, God said, my rain shall fall as a doctrine. What's a cloud? Paul called them clouds of witnesses. Many clouds of witnesses. So it's a witness. They say, I believe in Jesus, but there's no doctrine. There's nothing to stabilize them in Christ. You see? So like waters, I mean clouds without water, just blown about by every wind. You see? Foaming out their shame. The Pentecostal church is represented of that denominational group in 2 Timothy 3, 1-8. Having the form of godliness, their seed produced their kind. Now, if you weren't here Wednesday night, I want you to listen to the sermon. Get it and listen to it. Because it's very important that we understand what's happening in this day. We've got a lot of people following William Branham, just like they did Moses out of Egypt. 2 million people left Egypt. 2 million people claim to believe the message today. Now, how many entered in? The Bible says that all the originals that left, except for Joshua and Caleb, died out. All the old-timers died out. It was the younger generation under 20 that never did see, basically, they were too young to remember Egypt and the garlics and the leeks and those things. They weren't enticed to go back. They're the ones that enter in. Now, notice, having a form of godliness, their seed produced their kind. And the thing that I worry about in the message, I don't care about denominations. What I worry about is in the message, people that are following William Branham, are they just kind of churchy? You know, they got that little churchy spirit where they come and they can identify with each other and say, well, we got a little group and we're happy and we've got everything. We're content. We're increased with goods and we have need of nothing, like Laodicea. Or is there a heart that's on fire, set on fire by the Word of God? And only you can tell which one of those you are. And if you're the one that's cold, not cold, if you're because you wouldn't be here. But lukewarm, you can be lukewarm, be here. And hopefully you're on fire and you're here. You see? Because God said if you're lukewarm, he'd spew you out of his mouth. That's, his mouth is a word. There you go. Okay, now. Now, although these are wonderful thoughts here that Brother Bram's laying out, I want to get to the very next. We're going to actually go back into some of this next week. Remember, we don't have service this Wednesday, so I'd like to have some of the brothers come and clean up some of the yard here. But anyway, to keep our continuity of thought, let's move on to paragraph 166. Now, the eunuch, here we're going to get into something deep, and let me tell you, brothers and sisters, what he's about to tell us is very, very deep. We're about to hit on something very, very deep right here. He said, now watch, this seed church, this real church with the real true sperm, he's talking about the word, notice the eunuch had been with all the DDs, the doctors of divinity. Now remember, God never committed his preaching and his gospel to an angel. How many knows that? How many knows that Galatians 1 and 8 said if an angel come from heaven and preach something else besides what they had preached, let it be cursed. So the angel's wrong if he's different from the word. God came down below the angels and committed it to men, which were sons. You believe that? Now watch. Now, he never committed it to angels. Notice, he did not do it. Notice also, he never committed this to women either. Why? Because the man is a seed carrier. Now listen carefully to what Brother Bram's saying here. Philip had been up to Pentecost, Jerusalem, to worship. How many says amen? Amen to that. The eunuch, he had been with the DDs and the LDs and everything. But why didn't he get something? He come back down studying the prophecy of Isaiah. And you can go to the denominational churches and even churches among this message, and they can talk about the word. And it's a historical thing to them. And they can talk about Isaiah and Jeremiah and Jerusalem and these and Jeremiah and these things. But it's just kind of, well, it's just looking back. And so they're always looking back, always looking forward, but they're failing to recognize what is God doing right now, for me, right here, right now, this day. He's the I am, he's not the I was. You see? And so Brother Bram says, so where did You know, when Philip met that eunuch, where did he come from? Well, he was up there at some Bible conference, trying to figure out these things, you know, trying to study the Word and trying to figure these things out. But, oh, brother, now we're in line. Where did the germ come from? Notice he said, let's go back. But why didn't he get anything? He come down studying the prophecy of Isaiah. That's what he's doing. He's standing in the chariot studying that prophecy of Isaiah when Philip walked up to him. Oh, brother, now we're going to get, now we're on the line. Although an angel directed Philip to him, but the germ of life had to come through the body. Didn't come from the angel. The angel could have gone to the eunuch, right? But it didn't. It's not the angel's place to procreate. It's man's place to procreate. Now listen. Angels don't have children. Men have children. Through their wife. Through the bedding ground. Although an angel directed Philip to him, but the germ of life had to come through the body. Philip, oh brother, now we're on to the line. Where did the germ come from? Through the angel? The angel showed him where to go. And an angel's a messenger. But here's a son. Philip. He had the germ, the message, the word. That's how a child can be born. Philip laid his hands upon him. Philip baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ. There come forth the Spirit of God, sure. Now the germ had to come from the body. What body? Christ's body. Correct? And Philip was a member of the body. Now, what are we looking at? We're looking at sons. How does a son come to become a son? Through, well, in the natural, through sperm that enters the egg. It's fertilized and all those things. How does a son of God come? Through the spoken word. Given by a man. Part of the body. It has to come through the body. It doesn't come by some, oh, inspiration. I received it. I got it. You understand? Now listen. That's how a child can be born. Philip laid his hands upon him. Philip baptized him in the name of Jesus Christ. There come forth the Spirit of God. Sure. Now the germ had to come from the body. What body? Christ's body. Correct? And Philip was a member of that body. Now I hope you're getting what he's saying here, because the whole sermon, this 6.5-hour sermon, has focused us to the point to know and understand that God wants a family. But God is spirit, so he placed his God life in sons to bring forth sons. Hallelujah. Look, I'm getting so excited because just think, men provide the seed, women the atmosphere. But the life comes down from the man, and it can't come down from spirit. It must come through a body. Jesus did not materialize in the manger. He was not teleported down to earth as a spirit. He could never have manifested or declared and openly revealed the God life as a spirit. So God produced an egg and sperm and placed it in the womb of the woman, because the express image of God had to come through a body. And Brother Brown just told us that God used the body of Philip to provide God life, God's sperm, to the Ethiopian eunuch. It took a man, not an angel, but a man to bring another son to life. Now, look. We are tripartite beings, body, soul, and spirit. Right? But notice, when your spirit is gone, the body is dead. Correcto mundo? Huh? So then how do you give life? Can a man give life after his spirit has left him? No, he can't. But that life, that spirit, that life has got to come through the instrument of the body to produce more life. You understand? So don't just sit in your seat and say, passive faith, I got it. Passive faith, I got it. Because I'm going to tell you what, if it's just in your spirit, in your soul, and it's not registering in your body, there's no life there. It's mental only. Like Brother Vail said, they've got it, but they don't got it. You understand? Now, we're going to read the next paragraph. Because Brother Bram just told us that God used the body of Philip to provide God life to that eunuch. It took a man, not an angel. A man. Like Brother Bram said, Jesus was not an angel. He was a man. Not an angel, a man. Paragraph 168. Now listen, the same thing took place in Acts 10:48. Peter was on the housetop and an angel directed him to Cornelius' house. But where did the word come from? The body. Oh, I feel pretty good. Feel like traveling on. An angel come and said, don't worry, don't call nothing unclean. Just go on and don't drink, don't think nothing. And while Peter spake these words, not the angel, not the cardinal, while Peter spake those words, and what? He was the body. He had the word. The word took hold. Oh, brother, shoom. Oh, my, angel directed it, but the life come through the body of Christ. Notice the new birth. The Holy Spirit baptism came to individual sons, quickening them to life, not from an angel, but from sons to daughters, etc. Angels don't have children, but sons do. Now, can you see why I go to these places? Oh, brother, I didn't even see this until I saw the fruit. I mean, look, I see the fruits of the work. That makes me excited and my love for the brethren, but all these children of God, these sons of God, birthed by the word of God that comes through sons of God. And then to see those brothers so filled with a God life that they take it out and they're birthing sons all over the place. God's going to have a nice big family. And that's what Jesus said in his prayer to his father. John 17. Notice John 17 verse 14. He says, I've given them thy word. And the world hateth them because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. I pray not for that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. What? More sons? Through their word. That's your word. When you share this gospel, when you take this light, the life, and you begin to share it, and it quickens somebody, they catch it, brings them to life. Have you ever felt so alive? What does this word do for you? You see? How'd you hear it? It had to come through man, through words, through life. It had to come through a vessel, a body, the body of Christ. Aren't we members of the body? Did it come by inspiration? Did it come from the stars? You read the stars? No. Someone spoke words. Those words came alive in you. You see? Notice it says, they are not of this world, even as I'm not of this world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they all might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. The life, God life being passed down from seed to seed to seed. The same life, producing the same thing. Notice what Jesus is saying here. He says, Father, I have given them thy word that they may be one, even as you and I are one. And not only have not only these that I have given them thy word to, but the others that will receive your word through these others that I'm sending. That we all might be one because we have all received thy seed. Thy God life, thy doxa, which is thy opinion, thy values, and thy judgments. Because after all, Father, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so in expressing your word and your glory, your doxa, your opinion, your values, your judgments, these others have received thy God life and are sons to their testimony and the testimony of those whom I have sent. That's why Peter said, being born not of corruptible word, he said corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Born again by the word of God. Where'd it come from? You heard it. Faith cometh by hearing. You see? That they all might be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they might also may be one in us. that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that's that doxa, that they may be one even as we are one, I and them, thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me, as thou hast loved, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Now, do you see why it's so important to receive whomever God sends? Jesus said himself, John 13:20, verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. You see, one sows the seed, but another waters. And if you don't have the watering, that seed will never fully function. It'll still be sun. It's still seed. It'll still be a sun. But like we showed you on that film a few Wednesdays ago, you plant the wheat, it grows. The only thing that can change anything about it is the atmosphere it's living under. If it's under a wrong atmosphere, doesn't get enough light, doesn't get enough water, it'll be stunted. It's still a sun, still a wheat, but it'll be stunted. You see? So that atmosphere, and you can create that atmosphere in your home. Just put on the tapes. Just play them 24/7. I tell you, I love it. Last night I was listening again, and whenever I'm listening, I plug in one ear, when I dream, my dreams are very, very lovely, very spiritual. And I just like waking up that way. And so he says that, I hope you see the importance then of whomsoever God sends that you receive him. Jesus said in John 13:20, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. What if you say, well, I don't need you. I don't need the one he sends. I've got brother so-and-so. I get brother Branham. Well, okay, but brother Branham's not here anymore. Well, I got brother Vail. Well, brother Vail hasn't preached only 4 sermons in 10 years, 11 years now. Well, but I got all the stuff that I can go back over and over again. That's fine. But what if God has something for you now and you refuse the vessel in whom God uses to send it to by? You see, when you become exclusive, you become denominational. You put a period after what you believe. You say, I have no need of anything. I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. That's Laodicea. And that's that same spirit that says, well, I got one person, that's fine. This one person is that's it. And even though they're not preaching anymore, but I can go through all the archives and look up all the stuff, and that's fine. Listen, God's a living God. He has things for you today. He has word for you today. He has water for you today. Well, I watered my plant 20 years ago. Watered my plant 40 years ago. Well, that's good. Drink that water that you've got sitting for 20 years. Huh? How about the water that's been sitting for 40 years? I'm not putting down the sermon because there's life in the sermon. But you see, you've got to have a man. You've got to have the seed pass on. If you know, Brother Brown didn't have grandchildren by producing them directly himself. He had a son, and then the son had a son. You understand? Life goes on. It moves on. All right? John 1:12. But as many as received him. You see, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me. And he that receiveth me receives him that sent me. Well, John 1:12 tells us who those are that receive, whomsoever he sends. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. Now that word power is exousia. It's not power like, you know, it's power. It has to do with mental ability. It has to do with an ability to make a right decision. You know you're a son. Now you're going to act like a son. You see, remember the slave? Brother Ram said he was the son of a king. They said, do you feed him any different? No. You treat him any different? No. Well, why does he work so much better than the others? Because he knows who his father is. His father's a king back home. And he's the son of a king. Now, are we sons and daughters of God? Or are we just kind of hoping to work through life, maybe get a pension, retire, fade out like a snail, and just kind of... Or are we sons and daughters of the living God, creator of the heavens and the earth? Brother Branham said, we live so below our privileges as sons and daughters of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God that they are, even to them who believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh. What Word? Jesus? You! When the Word entered you, that Word became flesh in you. If you heard, if you recognized, and if you acted upon it. Because when you hear and recognize, that's when it's coming alive in you. And then when you act upon, it shows the life is there to others. You see? As many as received him, that's what it's all about. And Jesus said, if you receive one that I send, you receive me. Why? Because he's a seed carrier, God's sperm of his word of life carrier. And what does it produce? Son of God, life in the one who receives him. Now from the spoken words, original seed, Brother Bram said in paragraph 91, then the works will be manifested in him are the same, for it is the same seed, word of God. God's son was his example seed. And what if his life was... And what his life was when the Spirit poured upon him after his baptism and the Holy Ghost come upon him, the very life that he produced will, that same watering Spirit of the Holy Ghost will bring forth the same kind of life doing the same thing that he did if it's the same seed. Son of God seed will bring forth a Son of God seed. Hallelujah. Oh, I love the sermon of Brother Branham's. And notice he says the seed must come through the body, not from an angel. All the angel did was give direction. But the Spirit of God, the sperm seed of God, the Word of God came from son, bringing birth to sons. People want to make such a big deal about angels, but let's face it, the angels could not bring the Word. And if they brought any Word that was not God's Word, they were cursed for it. You know, one guy, he got himself to a place where he had a lot of people following his ministry. So he got to saying, well, he was the angel of Revelation 10, the archangel. He's the archangel, the chief angel, you know. And Brother Vail just laughed. He said, well, then he's not a son. And that's why there's no word coming forth from him that's going to do anybody any good. Because angels can't produce sons. Right? Notice Brother Bram's next example of this paragraph, 169, he says, Paul on his way to Damascus, a vision directed him. The vision didn't give him life. The vision directed him, but Ananias had the germ, had the word. Amen. That prophet Ananias saw a vision and said, go up there and lay your hands on him. Said, Brother Saul, the Lord appeared to you on the road coming down here. How do you know? He had the word. The word of the Lord come to the prophet. Prophesied, went up there and said, he sent me up here that I might lay my hands upon you and you'd be healed and receive the Holy Ghost and receive your sight. Now, why didn't the pillar of fire that knocked Paul off his horse fill him with the Holy Ghost? Come on. Direct presence of God. And yet God had to work through a man. The man Ananias. Paul had a vision. It said, go. You know, Paul had the vision, but you know what? The vision didn't give him the Holy Ghost, did it? He didn't give him the God life. God sent another man, another son of God, with God life in him, to go lay hands upon him, to bring God life to Paul. Hallelujah. To quicken that predestinated seed to life. You understand the importance of the preaching of the gospel. Wow, this is just tremendous. And the scales fell off his eyes, and he rose up and was baptized in the name of Jesus and went to study. The angel directed it, that's right. But Paul had the seed germ. It takes the Spirit of God, the seed, to give life eternal. Whew, my. And I think we can all say the same thing. Whew, my. In 2 Peter 1 and 2, we read, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power. What's the divine power of God? It's God's word. Romans 1:16 says the power of God is gospel. The gospel of God is the power of God unto salvation. You see? My words are spirit and their life, Jesus said. According as his divine power, his word hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, godlikeness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory, that's God's doxa, his opinion, values, judgment, and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Well, if I promise you something, I'm giving you my word, right? Okay, whereby great and exceeding precious word, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. How does the divine nature come? Through the word. You see? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Notice through these divine promises, that's God's word, through his word you might be partakers of the divine nature. In other words, Son of God's seed will bring forth Son of God's seed. In closing, that's what God promised in Hebrews 6 and verse 14, saying, surely I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. It's all about bringing forth sons of God the way that God intended it to be in the beginning, before Eve did it the carnal way with the serpent. Remember, Brother Brown said God intended to bring forth sons of God through how? The spoken word. And he's telling us in the spoken word here, it's being done. I thought it was going to happen in the millennium. It's happening now. Oh, hallelujah. I get really excited thinking about this. That's what God promised, Hebrews 6:14. Also, Genesis 1:28, and God blessed him and said, God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So when you hear the word of God, think of it, not so much as spiritual food in due season, but that's what, I mean, even though that's what it is. But think also that the life of God being cast upon human troubled waters and in the right soil, this Son of God seed will produce sons of God. That is exactly what the Apostle Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 9 and 10. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, this is what Paul says, now he that ministereth seed to the sower both ministers bread for your food and multiplies your seed sown. And increases the fruits of your righteousness. In other words, Son of God's seed will produce Son of God. And the ministering of the word is to produce fruit out of the plant. Just like the water produced in the hydroponics, the water which represents the word, the water brings forth, because in your nature, a lamb will produce wool. He doesn't have to try. And the preaching of the word will bring forth the fruit out of your, the fruit of righteousness out of your lives. It comes through a man. Watering by the washing of water by the word. Oh, hallelujah. That's why Jesus tells us the parable of the sower. In Mark, he tells us that the seed is the word of God. But in Matthew, he tells us the seed are the children of the kingdom. In Luke 8, verse 11, it says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. In Matthew 13:38 says, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. In Matthew 13:23 says, but he that receives seed in the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, and which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Well, he that hears the word, well, who'd he hear it from? Well, you see, he heard on a tape. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. Somebody spoke into that microphone to produce that voice on that tape. It wasn't the angel. It was the man. You understand? It wasn't direct revelation. It wasn't a vision. You can't hear a vision. Show me a vision. Come on. Can you do it? No. But when you relay what you saw in the vision by words, the life that's in that vision is carried through your words into the life of others, producing more fruits of righteousness. But he that receiveth seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understands it, which brings forth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Acts 12:24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. The word of God. I thought he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, he is. But see, he is also life, and life produces. When life stops producing, it's no longer life. Now, what Brother Branham is telling us is not something new. He's not telling us something new. He did not come to give us new things. He came to restore those things that the people had forgotten. In Jeremiah 30, verse 19, we read, "And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small." And what God promised His people in the first Exodus has to repeat in the third Exodus, as it did in the second. For Alpha must repeat in Omega. So we see the promise of God through Moses in the first Exodus is the same as what Brother Branham is telling us here in the third Exodus, and it's exactly what Paul told us in the second Exodus. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 16, God says, "In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His commandments, and His statutes, and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it." Sons of God will bring forth sons of God. Now, God spoke it through Moses. Because when God spoke, they just heard a rumble. They thought it was thunder. Right? And when God said, "This is my beloved son," they thought it was thundering. They thought it was... But when it came through, like when William Branham standing down there, and the voice spoke out of heaven and said, "As John the Baptist forerun my first coming, so shall your message forerun my second coming." Meta, being 16 years old at the time, later on, she married Brother Branham when Brother Branham's wife died. She came up to him one day and she said, "Bill," she told Brother Vail this a week before she died. She said, "Bill, that voice that I heard there down in the river, that was your voice." And he just smiled and walked away. It had to come through man. Oh, hallelujah. But it was God's voice. What's on those tapes, that's God's voice to us, but it comes through a man. And that God life has to come through a body, part of the body of Christ. In Deuteronomy 30:16, "In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess." Deuteronomy 8:1, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give. Son of God's seed will produce son of God." And again in Deuteronomy 7:13, "And He will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, thy wine, thine oil, the increase of thine kind, the flocks of thy sheep, and the land that He sware unto thy fathers to give." God wanting to multiply, multiply, multiply. Hallelujah. And finally in Genesis 22:17, we see God's desire to bless us and bring forth many, many more sons. "That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee, thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as a seed which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemy." Well, let's just bow our heads and our hearts, not only in prayer, but in thanksgiving as well. Dear gracious Father, we are so thankful, Lord. So thankful because now we're beginning to understand our role as sons, and it's to bring forth life in other sons, to bring forth fruits of righteousness in other sons and daughters. And Father, we're grateful. We're thankful, Lord, knowing that we're not dependent upon an angel, not dependent upon a vision or a dream or some form of supernatural media. But Lord, You've given us each other. Vessels fit for honor, fit to be glorified, fit to be an expression, a manifestation of You, Your life here on earth. And so, Father, we ask that You would help us. Help us, Lord, to declare Thee. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to thee.
His face shine toward you and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace forever.
God bless you all.